Well, welcome to another episode of Scientology Fair Game, the podcast. Hi, Mikey.
Hi, Lily.
You're so cute.
Yes, well, are you?
Thank you. This is part two, and you're cute too, Chris.
Yeah, I don't want to leave him out.
I try.
And by the way, we should say this is part two.
Right. Because we had so much to talk about last time, we couldn't get it all in one.
Yes. Now, Chris Shelton, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me again.
Of course. Now, we ended off our last podcast talking about the RPF and the truth rundown. And now I understand that people at home are like, well, you know, Scientology is so... It's so annoying in so many ways, but one of them is its own nomenclature. It has its own nomenclature, its own dictionaries. So much so, and so much so that because we all have to study and look up every single word that we don't understand in Scientology, it takes us a while when we're talking to the free world, people in the free world. We have to sometimes pause because we're so used to using a Scientology term.
Well, that becomes particularly hard when we talk to someone like Chris or,
yes,
you know, people who we have conversed with in Scientologies for a long time and now have to try and stop because there's so much shorthand that we use to describe things and things that we all know this is what it means, but To people outside the world of Scientology, we speak like aliens.
Completely. And it's in the crazy. Beginning, and in the beginning,
whole podcast where people are like, I don't understand half of what you guys said.
I know. And see, now I get accused of speaking too slow on the game show that I'm doing. Right. I'm doing it. And people are like, talk fast. You're driving me insane. Now, the reason why I talk slow, first of all, just for anybody who watches the People Puzzler on Game Show Network, I have to tell you, and I hope to get half of you off my ass with this one, they have the clue in front of them. They are not depending on me to say it. You just don't see that they have the clue on a screen that you cannot see, everyone. They have the clues in front of them.
Oh, dear.
Number
You're
one.
You're being so nasty to those people, Leah.
Number two. The reason I talk slow is because if I talk at my regular rate and I say dog, car, door, you know, I'm scared that they're going to screw up because they're like, what did she say? I don't understand what she said. So I make sure if I have to say the word dog, which is dog, how do you say dog? Normal.
Dog.
Say again.
Dog.
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 Okay, dog. If I have to say dog, then I have to really think about it because then I try to overdo it and then I say something even weirder, like dog.
Yeah. Of course.
Okay, that's number two. Number three, sometimes in my ad-libs, I'm scared to say something that is in a different language, in Scientology terms.
Yes, they will.
I understand.
Yeah, I
understand.
Happens to me to this day.
What is your worst, Chris?
Leah,
what is your worst? Yes, go ahead. What?
I must say, Leah, just on the subject of the People Puzzler.
Yeah.
Our family loves that show.
Mm.
Jack, in particular, loves it. He loves watching you. He goes, "Oh, there's Leah," and I think that you are the perfect game show host. Really. I
Thank
do.
You, Mikey.
I think that you have the right combination of sass and humor and care for the well-being of those poor people that you see standing in front of you who are obviously so terrified and nervous, some of them.
Yes,
I
and
mean,
my
it's
sister
scary.
And my sister calls me like a lot, Nicole, right? And she's like, "Why don't they get?" I said, "Nicole, you hear that music that you're hearing in the background, like none of that is playing. Imagine you're sitting on a stage with a timer in front of you, with the clues in front of you, by the way, and everybody's just silent and they're just looking at you for the answer. Now, if you want to talk, like It is so, when you had 10 cameramen sitting there, you have somewhat of an audience sitting there, all the producers, the legal team, everybody is standing behind those cameras just staring at you, and you're trying to think of a word that is on the tip of your tongue, and what's going through your brain, if you're like me, is, why is everybody staring at me? Oh my God, do I look crazy? Oh my God, is everybody home? And you know, the clock's just ticking away while all this is happening, and it's right there at the tip of your tongue. It is not as easy as it seems.
I bet.
Absolutely right. Absolutely yeah. right. You know, people that volunteer to go on game shows are in some ways very brave.
Oh, yeah.
They think that they know what they're getting themselves into. And then when they're standing in front of the cameras, it's scary.
It is scary.
It is a scary thing. And you lose your, like, you get befuddled and confused and lost for words. And it's why, like, I see it often where people criticize or make fun of people who fumble when they're making a statement on TV, politicians or something. I go, you know, all you armchair quarterbacks out there have obviously never regularly appeared on a TV show or been watched while you're speaking live or et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Because everybody makes mistakes.
Yes. Right. And it's not easy. And when
you make one mistake and say a wrong word, and that defines everything about you for a couple of days, it's crazy.
So, Chris, we left off last time talking about the truth rundown. Let's explain what the truth rundown is and who would be the lucky recipient of this. In Scientology.
Well, I didn't know anything about the truth rundown until I hit the RPF. I had heard.
By the way, people give me shit for this too. Yep. Leah, you're cutting people off. Mike rolls his eyes every time I do it. But people
did
need
I
to.
Roll under- my eyes?
No, I really no, can't see on. You. And I'm wearing my glasses. Still can't see you. Wearing my glasses, looking directly at you. Still can't see.
Okay, rest, producers and Chris. Did I roll my eyes?
No.
Oh, I'm getting a. I can see this. This is what's funny. I can see our female producer saying yes. Maybe.
Oh, you liar!
A little bit.
Right.
She's saying a little bit.
Oh.
But explain what the RPF is.
Yes, of course. Okay. When you mess up, when you violate the rules in some very significant way, according to the C organization, Scientology's Elite Inner Core, which I was part of for 17 years, you end up, in a place where you, instead of getting kicked out, instead of leaving, right, because you've been such a bad boy or such a bad girl, they give you this quote-unquote opportunity. Mm-hmm. To redeem yourself.
Okay.
And so this is why it's called the Rehabilitation Project Force. A project force is just a group of people who are doing work.
Right.
But the Rehabilitation Project Force is a special unit set up, sequestered from the rest of the crew. The Sea Org is already a bad enough outfit, but the RPF is insane. It's taking the Sea Org schedule and making it and ramping it up even harder. So you only get 20 minutes for lunch, 20 minutes for dinner. That's beginning to end total, including cleaning up and everything. You have no days off ever. Every single day rolls into every other day because every day is the same. There's no weekends. There's no holidays. There's nothing. So you kind of lose sense of time there. It's a strange place to be because of that.
And you have to wear a certain uniform that would indicate that you're in deep shit, right?
Gray and black. Yeah, you are literally separated off from the rest of the Sea Org crew. This is only on Sea Org bases. This is not going to happen in a city level church or, you know, at some other location or to the public Scientologist. This is Sea Org only. And I know of two exceptions to that, by the way, where public were run through an RPF type program. Might know more about those, but that's what I know from history. As I know, two public ran through something like this. But for the most part, it's just for the Sea Org. And the idea of the program is you've been a bad boy or bad girl because of your evil intentions, your evil purposes that you've been carrying around with you for millennia. And so, you know, like all those times 10 million years ago when you were blowing up planets and stuff like that, that's the Scientology mythology of this. And so you have to go onto this RPF program and you have to learn how to audit with Scientology processes, do this particular evil purpose pulling on another person, and they do it on you. And your, and the whole point of the program is you get them better and they get you better is the idea. And you're rehabilitating each other. And then you graduate when you have pulled all the evil purposes that you've had. And I'm talking about hundreds of them, if not thousands, during the course of the time you're doing this. And that's only part of the day. The most of the day is spent on hard physical labor. It's not about rehabilitation. It's about working for the Sea Org for free. And you are...
Well, you do that anyway. I mean, when you join the Sea Org. Okay.
This is a lot tougher work. I mean, I had a desk job most of the time, or I was working with individuals, or I was sitting across a, you know, a table from somebody, or I was doing some public speaking. This is hanging off the side of a building by a rope, you know, doing sandblasting and retarring the roofs in the middle of the summer in LA, and, you know, the groundwork and event setup work where you're carrying eight folding chairs at a time on your back, you know, trying to run to your location to set up the event because you've only got, you know, an hour to set up 5,000 chairs or something crazy like that. So the hard physical labor part is taken very seriously on the RPF, and it's not any kind of picnic. It's supposed to be grueling, tough, torturous, intensive, etc. And this goes on for me, and my time was average on the program. For 3 years, I did this program and I graduated it. I did get through all the requirements of it, but most people leave. Mm-hmm. And if you get through it, then the idea is you are a rehabilitated Sea Org member who's back on track, back on purpose, quote unquote, is what they call it, right? You're on purpose. Your ethics are in, and all your evil purposes have been pulled. And I mean hundreds and thousands of these things. It's crazy how
invasive. Could you give us an example of what is an evil purpose that is pulled in a Scientology auditing session for, let's say, a child molester who's been, you know, a report was written on this person that they had molested a child in the Sea Org. They're sent to the RPF. They don't report these crimes to the police, but they're sent to the RPF.
Yep.
What would be an evil purpose that would be gotten off? And supposedly this is the counseling, right, Mike? Would you call it for these types of people?
Yeah. Counseling is a very kind word for it.
Yeah.
And so is rehabilitation.
Sure.
I mean, this is reprogramming.
That's exactly
is really what it is. Just like, you know, North Korean prison camp reprogramming.
That's right.
Making people think the way they are supposed to think according to Sea Org rules.
Right. So then the argument can be made that Scientology believes that they have now rehabilitated the child molester or rapist with Scientology processing. Right.
That's right. That's the exact argument that they use. And in fact, I know of child molesters who went to the RPF. I wasn't on the RPF at the same time they were, but it happened in PAC, in the PAC base where I was.
What's PAC base? There were
three instances where that happened. The big blue buildings in LA, the PAC base.
Oh,
Pacific
near
yeah, area command.
Oh, I see. The big blue is what they call it. Right?
Yes.
Big blue. Okay. Near the children's hospital. Always in Hollywood.
I think Int called it Slack Pack. That's what we were told.
What?
I was told by Jenny Linson one time during an ethics mission that they referred to the pack base as Slack Pack because we were getting away with so much nonsense all the time, according to them. I mean,
nonsense like what? What is nonsense? According to Jenny Linson.
Yeah, Jenny Linson would accuse us of slacking off, you know, not getting our work done.
I see.
It's just stupid stuff.
Okay.
But to answer your question about the evil purposes, because this is actually kind of at the heart and soul of this whole thing, because the Scientology process it is taken very seriously by Scientologists. They really do believe that by doing this auditing, which is called false purpose rundown auditing, this is pretty popular in Scientology, and they really do believe that by going into your past lives and pulling evil purposes, such as, I wanted to wipe out that species, to destroy all mankind, to ruin all women, to destroy him utterly. I mean, these might be evil purposes that would come up. They're usually phrased that way.
And this in Scientology terms would indicate that the person, the child molester, the rapist, the abuser, is now healed and could be let out of the RPF and now back into general population of Scientology. And they're healed.
That's right. That's the whole point of this. This is supposed to be a rehabilitation process where you are no longer act the way that you used to because you no longer have those evil purposes in your,
right.
in your mind.
Because you're acting out now, you know, abusing children is only because in a past life you had this intention. And once the basic intention is found, all of your, your inclination.
Impulses to carry out or yes. inclination to carry out.
Yes, right. will be blown now that you have been healed by this amazing process.
Exactly. That's exactly the point, and that's exactly how they think about it.
It's important to note that when this processing or sect checking or evil purpose handling occurs, the first thing that happens is the auditor gets every detail and specific of the incident that happened and writes it down.
Yep.
So if someone comes in and says, you know, I sexually molested a child, they go into excruciating detail and write notes of every particular related to that incident.
And just to let everybody know,
that is all recorded.
Yes, recorded, written down, and put in the person's folders.
That's right.
That are kept indefinitely. Just this is, if anybody's wondering why I'm going over this point, I just have the small glimmer of hope that the FBI continue to do nothing, but are just, you know, kind of bored sitting around their offices listening to this nonsense they must think it is, and just understand that it is written down in the folders and kept indefinitely.
Yep. I have folders. Mike has folders. Leah has folders. They're all sitting in a warehouse somewhere right now. They're all written down. And let's be clear that the procedure is exact. It's not a sort of roll your own confessional. There are precise questions that are asked every single time.
Yeah. So time, place, there's a form you have to fill out. The auditor is trained. The person who writes this stuff down is called an auditor in Scientology. And they have to go through training just to do the paperwork. You have to drill. When somebody gives up a transgression, what do you say? Okay, what was done? When was it?
Yep.
Where was it? Yep. Who witnessed it? Who made you think they knew about it? What did they do to make you think they knew about it?
Right. How else did you justify it?
And then is there an earlier similar time when you have such and such? Great. What was done? When was it? Where was it? Who missed it? You go through the same pattern every time.
Exactly. Now, that's bad enough because you spend literally hundreds of hours. Actually,
yes.
I think a total, I spent 1,000 hours is what I was told on this sect checking procedure, this FPRD, this false purpose stuff. And like I said, it took me 3 years to do it.
Yeah.
And then I was also, of course, doing this on someone else, my twin, the person I was doing the program with. Now, that's all bad enough and that's all goofy enough because of the past life aspect. You have false memory syndrome being sort of enforced on a person. You've got really insanely horrific things that a person is imagining they have done now and in the past.
And actual things that they've done. Chris?
Well, yes, in the practice, okay. Sure. But you know, when you're talking about, you know, having ripped up a planet 5 million years ago, it gets a little silly, right? Yet Scientologists believe this is actually what they did and what happened to them and why they are the way they are right now. And this barriers so much potential therapy and help for them because they're thinking that it's, you know, some nonsense that happened all these years ago. But it gets worse. There's a, as bad as this is, with all the physical labor and the full-time commitment and the brutal punishments. I mean, for example, the attitude on the RPF is not, we're all here to help each other and care about one another and help each other out. I broke my finger one day on the RPF. Only time I've ever broken a bone. It was the most painful thing that's ever happened to me. And it doesn't sound like much, a hairline, you know, break in the tip of my finger, but I wasn't allowed to go to the hospital. I wasn't even allowed to bind it. And I spent that entire first night with this broken finger laying in bed, trying desperately to sleep. And I couldn't because the RPF in charge, the guy who was in charge of sending me to the hospital, is like, no, you don't need to go to the hospital. You know, toughen up. Your finger's fine. Well, I'll tell you, at LA County Hospital, which is where they would send us and where I did eventually get sent after a day of having this broken finger. I mean, it's swollen up like three times as big. It was I had a problem, right? When you get to LA County, you don't actually have to say a whole lot because they send so many people there for so many injuries that they've got the line pretty called grooved in. Like it's set. You don't, all you got to do is go to the welfare office, you know, people and say, I'm from the Church of Scientology. And they know exactly which forms to fill out, which ones to give you. It's all pretty much a done deal already. Mm-hmm. That's how set up this is, that they are just, you know, taking money from the public coffers to deal with the injuries that they cause to their own members. It's pretty sick.
Right. And then lie about how the person received the injury. People are not given anything to protect themselves, any kind of protective gear. I was working a heavy piece of machinery at 14.
We always knew when the fire inspector was coming, when the OSHA guys were coming. We always had a heads up. So then you had a couple of days to clean the deck, clear the hallways, get everything set up so it looks good.
Take the children off the heavy machinery.
That's right. And OSHA guys come along and they see. So it's not like the regulators come along and just, you know, ignore all this crap. Yeah. They clean it, you know, they make it look like it's not what it really is. And this goes on all the time. This was life in Big Blue. So,
and this is current life.
Absolutely. It still is. In fact, I heard they haven't really been letting anybody off the base for the last year because of COVID. Like nobody was leaving at all for any reason. That's what I heard. It's crazy.
Of course.
Now, even going deeper, because I really wanted to get to this, and this is what I think is probably, in my opinion, I think this is the single most destructive to your psychology. I think that this is, I think this is one of the worst things Scientology can possibly do to you. And this is called the Truth Rundown. Mm-hmm. And you receive this, Leah, as a public, which is like, you are literally one of two or three people I ever heard of as a public non-Sea Org member to receive this thing. I'm assuming, Mike, you've had TRD type actions run.
Many.
Yeah, I think.
And so I think I might have been the pilot, one of the pilots for that and for the FPRD.
There you go. I absolutely believe it. Now let me try to do this time and summarize it by saying at the get-go, if the RPF is a Maoist reconditioning camp, which it is, then the TRD is a concentrated level 20 gaslighting technique.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, it addresses your very memory in such a way as to convince you that what happened to you or what you saw or observed is not what you actually saw or observed. You're making it all up. And the reason you're making it up is because you did something really significantly bad along the same line as what you're now saying is so awful. And this is called the truth rundown because it's supposed to bring you the truth, but what it does is destroy the truth. Because what it does is it's searching for and rooting out black PR, which is not really a technical term. It's pretty understandable. But if you're running around as a Sea Org member, staff member, or public saying to other Scientologists, for example, well, the staff don't get paid. The staff work here and they should be getting paid, but they don't. They don't get paid. Nobody pays them anything. They're not able to make a living wage working at the org. This would be called an enemy line or black PR. You're denigrating the local org. You're making it look like something that people don't want to work at, that they shouldn't be part of or helping out. Mm-hmm. That's black PR as far as Scientology is concerned. Now, here's the thing. It happens to be true.
Right.
They don't pay their staff.
Right.
So, I mean, I worked for 8 years as a staff member at a class 5 org. I think the most I ever made in a week was maybe $175. Right? This is not a living wage. I had to have outside work the entire time in order to be able to make a living. But they will tell you, how dare you say the staff don't get paid? This is awful. This is out ethics. How? So if you're found being one of these people who spreads this stuff, then you become a candidate for the truth rundown. And it's a very intensive procedure along the same lines as the FPRD, is the false purpose rundown stuff, because it's a kind of confessional. It's a kind of sec checking that gets done on you.
It's an interrogation. Yes. at its worst. I mean, it is, Mike. I mean, how could you describe? I mean, it is KGB style. It is like North Korea style. It is like you have you've rounded up the enemy, and now you are going to interrogate him and abuse him and psychologically fuck with this person until you get the answer you're looking for. Is that a good example?
Right.
A good description of it?
That's perfect. But that's perfect, Leah. But I think that we also have to make the point that there is an element to the Scientology brainwashing interrogation technique that is sort of missing in others. And it's a development that Hubbard made called the E-meter. And the E-meter is this device that Scientologists sit on, and it's a little meter that the interrogator has that he can see the dial, and the person who's receiving the interrogation is holding these cans. Mm-hmm. And we loosely call it a form of lie detector,
mm-hmm.
and Hubbard referred to it even as a form of lie detector.
Mm-hmm.
But what's different about this than a lie detector is that Scientologists are indoctrinated to believe that what happens with that E-meter is reality.
Yeah,
and so you have the interrogator sitting there saying, Leah Remini, Leah, now answer this question. Have you ever killed a dog? And you respond going, no, I don't think I've ever killed a dog. I thought about it. I've never killed a dog. Mm-hmm. And then the auditor, the sec checker says, well, it's reading. So take another look.
Mm-hmm.
So until you come up with an answer to that question, you don't progress to the end of the session.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the interrogation only comes about when you provide a response that is acceptable to the person who has the meter.
Mm-hmm.
And people outside of Scientology have a difficult time understanding, why buy this bullshit? Like, why accept it? It is part of the fundamental indoctrination of Scientology that mm-hmm. the E-meter does not lie.
Right.
That it knows more than you do.
Right.
That if you are not coming up with an answer, it's because there's something that is occluded. There's something that you haven't seen yet. There's mm-hmm. something beneath your consciousness. And the E-meter and the auditor will help you to discover what that was by guiding you to understanding and seeing what it is.
Right.
And every person, every single one who has left Scientology mm-hmm. will tell you that they develop techniques of how to go about dealing with this interrogation. And you come up with ideas and you think, well, maybe I could try this one out and see what the person says to me. Oh, well, that's reading. Yes, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell me more about that. Tell me more about that. And in the end, I know for me, I'll speak just for me. I ended up making up the craziest stuff just to get through the process.
And what's
because
so crazy,
you can't stop it. It goes on. It could go on for 8 hours in a locked room.
Yes.
You can't go to the bathroom. You can't do anything. You're stuck there until you come up with something that is acceptable to the person on the other side of that e-meter, your interrogator.
And then what's so crazy,
Mike? In that regard...
they'll use that against you. They'll take it out of context and post that. Like that, like, and you're like, no, wait, I was forced to say, that was when I was a caveman. No, that right. wasn't this lifetime.
Yeah.
Hey, it's all reality as far as they're concerned. You know, plus they're
and
stuff up, you know, on top of that.
And of course, when it gets down to the very end of this, after you've admitted to the doingness of it, what you actually did, then you go into, well, what prompted you to commit that terrible sin?
Evil purpose.
And then you have to think.
Yep.
Yeah. Then you have to think, okay, so what? Why would I have done that? And you've just made up a thing. Oh, I tortured a cat. Just, okay, so why did I do that? Gosh, I guess I hate cats. I want all cats dead. So that then gets recorded as Mike Rinder has an evil purpose. He wants all cats dead.
Yep.
Sometime subsequently, after leaving the C organization and appearing on the Aftermath show, Scientology will comb through those files and say, ah, cat lovers of the world unite. Mike Rinder admitted he wants all cats dead.
Yes.
And that is exactly how this is done. And you don't need to take it from me or you, Leah, or Chris Shelton, because perhaps the best expose of the truth rundown is from none other than Marty Rathbun, who wrote a post on his blog in October of 2013 describing the truth rundown and explaining to everybody how it is that Scientology is publishing an apology that he made to David Miscavige. And where he says, I lied to him. I wanted to destroy him. Whatever it was, there's tons of them. I've got all sorts of them about David Miscavige from me.
Well, you should post Marty's post if he hadn't taken it down, because just for everybody, Marty Rathbun.
No, I've got it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We should post that for everyone, because Marty Rathbun has since gone back into the Church of Scientology. When he was out, he was telling the truth.
It's pretty laughable, because what you see here is Marty justifying and explaining how Scientology is dead-agenting him with this stuff, which is exactly now what he is doing, gone back, and he is carrying out this exact same process on behalf of Scientology now, saying he makes up these stories about Leah Remini told me that I'd be paid thousands and thousands of dollars if I would agree to go on the Aftermath program.
And also he accused me of saying, we can make it all up. We can just say whatever the fuck we want.
But I've got to tell you, and I don't mean to preempt you, Chris, but I just get on a roll on some of these things.
Go right ahead.
The end of the truth rundown is that the person is required to write an apology.
Right.
So if, and this all began, just so you know, and Marty lays this out in his blog post, with some person, some Sea Org member at Golden Era Productions saying that he thought that Hubbard's films, the technical training films, were amateurish in quality. And anybody who has ever seen these things, amateurish is a kind word. Mm-hmm. It's like childish is mm-hmm. more like it.
Yeah,
they were but bad. This person then became the subject of Hubbard's handling of dealing with his black PR, and that became the Truth Rundown. And the end of the Truth Rundown is you apologizing to whoever you slighted or had bad thoughts about or said something that was less than complimentary. So I, of course, had many Truth Rundowns about David Miscavige because I said something or acted in a fashion that indicated that I didn't think that his farts didn't smell. So I'm now subjected to this process. And you, Leah, had the same thing with Tom Cruise. That was the process of the Truth Rundown was to, or David Miscavige, I don't even know which one or what both. Of all the things that you were addressed, both, I'm sure, mm-hmm. but that David Miscavige had disappeared his wife. You have to get to the end of that and go, I'm so sorry for ever implying that your wife has disappeared. I know that you only have the best intentions and that Shelley is probably doing wonderfully and everything is really cool in the world. And thank you so much for all the hard work you do to help us out. And this groveling sort of the end of it is like a POW video from North Korea. And that is the end of the Truth Rundown. Only when that has, it goes on, the sessions go on until you come up with something that is acceptable to the interrogator. The process goes on until you come up with an apology that is acceptable.
And I want to go back with you guys
and
for one
that,
minute. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah.
And that what?
No. And that is the Truth Rundown. And that's why Chris said, this is the knee plus ultra mm-hmm. of Scientology brainwashing, twisting, and gathering information and evidence that they use to then seek to discredit anybody who leaves. Right.
As your basic training, just being a Scientologist, mm-hmm. okay, your basic training is that you are required to write what's called knowledge reports. Mm-hmm. And under knowledge reports are 72 different kind of reports that you can write. Like my favorite one was an annoyance chit where just people is because I was annoyed constantly. So I'd write an annoyance chit. You know, this guy didn't say thank you. This yep. guy doesn't know we got to let people out of an elevator. Right. So I'd write annoyance chits on my own family. And this is part and parcel to what Scientology is. You're writing reports constantly mm-hmm. on staff members, on Sea Org members, and on your friends and family who are Scientologists. You're basically, you're constantly turning in people, for lack of a better term. That is exactly, you're turning everybody in.
It's a snitch culture.
Snitch culture, right? And not only that, the policy of knowledge reports, which are required reading, it says in there that, let's say, Chris, you get busted for doing something, right? So they pull you into an interrogation and they do the questionnaire, like we went over before, time, place, form, and event, who knew about it. If my name comes up mm-hmm. that I knew you had done something, mm-hmm. like taking 25 minutes for dinner when it was only 20 minutes, and I knew about it, and they don't have a report from me saying that you've done it, they call me in.
Yep.
And then I'm in trouble. Then they put me on the interrogation, right? And they go, okay, so we had a report from Chris that he took 25 minutes instead of 20, and we don't have a fucking report from you, Leah. So you're being reasonable, which is a term that Scientology uses, meaning being a pussy and not doing anything about something, right? You're making excuses for bad behavior. That's what reasonable means in Scientology. Yep. So I would get in trouble. So you sometimes write reports reluctantly, scared that the person's going to give themselves up and you didn't give them up before they gave themselves up. Snitch culture.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Knowledge. Leah, the policy says that if you fail to report something that is subsequently found out about, you are just as culpable
as the person who committed the actual thing. And you will get the same punishment, if not more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with this. Knowledge reports are a requirement to be a Scientologist. A requirement for your survival. It's 1984. Okay. So imagine my shock when here I am running around going after the wedding. I write all these reports from Tom Cruise's wedding in Italy. If it's about somebody outside of Scientology, totally not bad. Totally not bad. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. But if you're talking about another celebrity in Scientology or David Miscavige, okay, this is called Natter. And Natter is considered you are covertly trying to tear somebody down, and it's unwarranted. And when you are critical, quote unquote, in Scientology, that means to a Scientologist that you have committed transgressions about that person. So, Chris, if you steal from me and I go, hey, Chris Shelton stole from me, they go, you're being critical. Sit down. What have you done to Chris Shelton? No, I just said he stole from me. That may or may not be true. But you're being critical of him. If I say, oh, this guy's a fucking piece of shit, he's a child molester, which I brought up, and I once tried to challenge my auditor. I said, so if I talk about a child molester, which I believe should not be, that can't be rehabilitated, this is a person that you're just never going to get me to agree. This is a worthwhile person to even be in prison. But anyway, I mean, if they go to prison, they should be in general population. That's always a good time. But they're separated for a reason. So if I say, I said, so let me just go with your theory of L. Ron Hubbard's theory, Scientologist theory. If I say a child molester is a piece of shit human being, am I being critical?
Mm-hmm.
What? I don't know. What does LRH say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we have a Scientologist here who's a child molester. Okay. So what? So Leah, so pick up the cans. Have you ever done anything similar? Have I ever molested a child? No. Okay, look earlier. And like Mike said, they're looking at the meter. If there's so much as a tick on that meter, they're like, ha-ha! We're going to find us. Go past lifetimes, right? So you can never be critical of another Scientologist, ever, no matter what they do. Okay, no matter what they're doing. So I'm critical now of Tom Cruise, David Miscavige, and every fucking person at that wedding who is part of David Miscavige's inner organization, right? I'm writing reports because that's what I was told to do, taught to do in Scientology. When I report to Flag and I go, nope, you're not going to get me to turn. Sorry, I'm not buying this shit anymore. I said, I wrote all this shit up. I did exactly what I was supposed to do. They go, wait here, come back. And then all of a sudden comes all the reports that I've ever written that were critical of Scientology and Scientologists.
Yep.
And they go, look at this report. They have a report about something that I've written on Tom or Dave Miscavige. And they go, okay, when did you see this? I go, well, I already said it. I saw it at the fucking wedding, and I was sitting, and I'm thinking I'm saving Scientology. I'm like, we're going to wipe the slate clean. We're going to get rid of all of these bad actors. We're going to start Scientology anew. I'm thinking I'm going to get an award at the next Scientology event. And I'm literally thinking I'm the savior of Scientology, I swear to you, okay? And I'm talking to my auditor, like, right? This is some fucked up shit, man. Like, we should be, and she's just staring at me with her eyebrow. And I go, are you gonna fight me? Like, what the fuck are you looking at me like that for? And she said, pick up those cans. I picked up the cans, and I was like, oh, shit, okay, wait. I thought she was gonna tell me, you are the savior of Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard would be proud. And she said, what have you done similar? And they put me through this craziness like you're talking about, torture. Mike, Chris, I was at Flag, I think the Scientology Mecca, the headquarters, I think for the whole 3 or 4 months that I was on hiatus, for the King of Queens. This was my only time off on the King of Queens. And I came home literally a shell of myself.
Right.
I didn't know who I was anymore. I couldn't believe that I had recanted, that I sent apologies letters. I had no idea who I was. And it was from that moment on, I never submitted myself to another Scientology. I didn't leave Scientology then because I wasn't ready to lose my mother and my sister and everybody that I've ever known. Mm-hmm. But I said I will never go into another Scientology auditing session ever again. Yep. And it took me years to say, no, I fucking saw that shit, man. That fucking happened.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was. Exactly. It was. I could cry now thinking about it, Chris.
Yeah, it's powerful stuff. It's not. This is not something. This is not something to trifle with. This is. These are procedures that are mind altering in an extremely destructive way.
And they show you data, like you're saying. They show you data that says that a person can make things up because of their. And so they made me think that I made these things up. Right. They made me think I made these things up. Because of my own transgressions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As Chris said at the beginning, this is gaslighting to the ultimate degree that it can be taken.
It's psychological. And, it's psychological torture.
Yes. Terrorism. Yes. Psychological terrorism.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
It is horrible. 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 And you know, when you started telling me about what had happened to you, Lee, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. This is I thought this only ever happened to Sea Org members.
Right.
And Sea Org members are like sort of expected to be tough and resilient and pride themselves in their ability to withstand abuse and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking, holy fuck, this is really, this really got out of control.
Yes.
And I know what's so funny about this, looking at it in retrospect, is for you, this was sort of the thing that pushed you over the edge that ultimately got you to the point where you walked away from the whole shebang. You walked away from auditing at that point.
Yes.
But this, from the Scientology side of this equation, you know what they would say about this? Just like they say about everybody who's ever left? Ha! See, this just proves that we were right about Leah Remini.
Yeah.
She was a fucking bitch. She never belonged in Scientology.
They are fucking right about that.
She was not able to live up to the ethical standards, the high ethical standards of Scientology. And this is just for, they are probably telling people in Scientology that, who inquire about, well, how is it that Leah Remini ended up leaving?
Right.
They go, huh, well, she was a no case gain. She did the entire truth rundown and didn't get a thing out of it.
Right. Ha! Right.
Everything is turned on its head.
And you know what I would tell after for the 6 years before I left, Mike, Chris, I would say, don't write knowledge for it. Don't fucking write a knowledge report because it's going to come back to bite you in the ass. Don't write a fucking knowledge report on any celebrity in Scientology or David Miscavige. Don't write it. Don't write it. It's going to come back to you.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chris, what'd you want to add? Because we cut you off.
Just on what you were just saying there. I mean, they laid that on me. I mean, I had a OSA West US staff member sit across from me and tell me straight up, the reason you're so screwed up, the reason you're, you know, posting and all this other crap is because you're such an overt product, is the term they use. You're such a, you know, you're such a, such a bad product of the RPF. You didn't actually get it done right.
Right, right.
You know, and we went through and we know what's wrong with you. And this is the arrogance with which they meet any criticism or, you know, opposition is, we're right, you're wrong, end of story.
Right.
Period. We're done talking. That's literally the way the conversation goes with them.
Right.
I delivered 2 truth rundowns to other people in the course of my RPF program, as well as receiving it myself.
Yeah.
And it was the same drill both times with the same end result both times, because you're not done until you get it.
Right.
And it was helped in that the people who I was delivering it on had actually read the materials. So yeah. they knew what the end result was going to be. That's not always the case in Scientology. And you have to sit right. there and grind until right. you say the magic words, right? That happens a lot. But in this particular case, I didn't have to deal with that. But it mm-hmm. was apologies. It was apology letters. It was, I'm so recant. Oh, I'm so sorry. I feel mm-hmm. so bad. And to me, you know, looking back on this in light of, you know, everything I've learned since, it is so clear that this is memory destroying, this is mind altering in a significant almost permanent, I mean, short of getting some therapy and you and I, and, you know, we've been through some stuff now with this. So we've gotten that time and perspective and ability to kind of recategorize some of those experiences. But unfortunately, when you're stuck in that world, you don't get to recategorize. You don't get any distance or time or perspective. You're stuck with that and you are damaged because of that. And this thing is not some light, airy, fairy little exercise. This is Maoist level reconditioning. And it's really, really nasty stuff. And this is what the Church of Scientology does right now.
Yep.
They do it right now, Chris, in an everyday auditing sessions, because this is what they do. Every day you go in, you know, it's required that you go in every day, 2.5 hours a day. And just your every day, they're pulling these transgressions from you. And like you're saying, recategorizing them. And every time that happens, somebody's being traumatized.
Exactly.
By this gaslighting, by this terrorizing psychological mind fuck. I mean, it is every day happening in Scientology. And by the way, just so everybody knows, these interrogations that we're talking about, it says on the process, the pre-written questions for some of these interrogations, they're called security checking. They're called sec checks. There's how many of them, you guys, about 75 different kind of lists.
God, at least. Yeah, there's so many pre-made forms.
I mean, actually, there is an unlimited number because there is also the tailor-made section.
No, I'm not talking about tailor-made. I'm talking about just pre-written.
You've got, dozens. Okay. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I think you dig up about that many. There's a ton of them.
And I just want everybody at home to know that in parentheses on these pre-written sec checks says can be done on a child, at the age of five, or six, I think.
Well, hell, they even have a specific children's sec check.
Yeah, but also you can do other sec checks that ask children for things that are inappropriate, that are not children's sex checks, because Scientology doesn't view children as children.
Even that children's sex check is a misnomer, because if you actually look at the questions on it and where they're going to take it.
Sure. Are there secrets that your parents told you not to tell us? Or do you, you know, things that are just really, really inappropriate. I mean, they ask children for things that are just, anyway, it's really, really, really something that people don't know, Scientologists don't know, is happening to them. What's happening to them is awful, and I hope that people who are listening, who are ex-Scientologists or ex-Mormon or ex-Jehovah's Witnesses, understand that these things are traumatic events in your life, Being a victim is a very, you know, victim in Scientology is a bad word. Seek help, reach out to people who have been here, who have done that, and understand what you're going through. Because you have to deal with that pain. And I noticed between us, you know, us, we're not really people who seek out therapy and help in this area, because we have been indoctrinated to think that psychology, psychiatrists are the evil of the planet and should be destroyed. And I think there's a little piece of that that's still with Scientologists that leave and they don't seek out help. It's like, you still have that mentality of like, get over it and move on.
That's a huge barrier.
True.
Yeah.
Huge
barrier.
Yeah. It's not Scientology specific only. You know, there are other groups that do that too, but I've never seen any other group that rags on psychiatry and psychology as much as Scientology does. They really take it to the nth degree with that stuff.
Agreed.
Global eradication. Remember that, Mike?
Yep.
Global annihilation. Yes.
What is that?
It was one of the events one year. Psychiatry.
The global annihilation of psychiatry. Yep. Is an objective of the International Association of Scientologists, and it was to be achieved within the next year. And I think I announced that campaign.
You did.
But Chris, he's like, you did. You did. Mike, weren't you also the one, along with Tom Davis, who went on a show and said disconnection does not exist in Scientology?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't think I said that. No, Tom Davis did. Yeah. But I don't think that I ever said that disconnection didn't exist. I had a different approach to things like that. I would say, I would respond to, well, what about disconnection in Scientology? Well, you know, if you have an abusive husband, isn't it a good idea to disconnect yourself from an abusive husband? That's what we're talking about.
Right, right. Like, or somebody who's against you getting spiritual gain and doing better in life. Would you talk to that person? Right. That was your approach. Yes. You're right.
Actually a much better argument, but
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Because I'd fall for that. I think
it's just sneakier.
Seeing Tommy Davis, I mean, this was early on when I saw this after I got out, and seeing him on CNN flat out saying that. I mean,
there's no such thing as disconnection.
Disconnection, as you characterize it, just doesn't exist in science. It just doesn't happen.
Oh my God, that just sounded like him. He's so fucking annoying.
Tommy Davis, fuck you. I have literally heard you talk about disconnection in that tape with what's his name? Anderson, Larry Anderson. You flat out said it. Don't give me. Oh my God. Anyway, yes, the hypocrisy.
Hold another subject.
Yes.
Well, listen, Chris, we once again want to thank you for taking the time. We know you have your own podcast, which is amazing. We can mention it here.
The Sensibly Speaking podcast, which posts every Saturday.
Well, thank you, Chris, for being you. And thank you to all of you for continuing to listen and care. Until next time.